Now let's open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 53. I've been preaching through this in the past few Sundays, and I'm going to continue that next Sunday and the Sunday following concerning the suffering of our Savior. This is a prophecy of Christ, Isaiah 53. And then last week, when I came to the end of the message, I'd gotten to verse 6, and I wanted to say more about this verse, Isaiah 53, verse 6, which says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, on Christ, the iniquity of us all." What a verse. Of course, we could say that about a lot of verses in the Scripture, couldn't we? There is a summation here of what I call the way made by our Savior's suffering. The way made by our Savior's suffering. Of course, what we're talking about is the way of salvation. The way to God. And it's the way of the Savior's suffering. Suffering unto death. As the surety, the substitute, the redeemer of his people. There's a song that I used to sing, and I was going to put it on our list today to sing, but it's not in our book. It's called "The Way of the Cross Leads Home." And it says, "I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. I must needs go on in the blood-sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod. And if I ever climb to the heights sublime where the soul is at home with God." And then it says, "Then I'll bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it nevermore. For the Lord says, come, and I seek my home where he waits at the open door," the way of the cross. It has been said that the Bible is a book of unity. I beg to differ. The Bible is the greatest book of division ever written. Now, there is a unity that exists by the grace of God amongst the people of God, amongst the family of God. But the Bible continually, and if you'll look at that Psalm 1 that Brother Mark read, this is why I had him read that. You'll see that the Bible looks at the whole human race in two divisions, one and one, in opposition to another. Here it speaks of the godly. Who are the godly? Well, they're sinners saved by the grace of God. They're sinners whom God has brought to walk the way that the Savior walked in his suffering for the salvation of his people. And so it says in verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Who are the ungodly? They're unbelievers. In other words, we don't. When it comes to salvation, when it comes to righteousness, when it comes to being right with God, we don't listen to them. That's what he's saying. We don't listen to them. Their counsel is useless to us when it comes to that. Now, they may be good accountants. They may be good carpenters. They may be good doctors. And we'll listen to them on that issue. But when it comes to salvation, we don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Because they're not going to tell us the right way. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. We don't stand with them. That's what that means. Now, we're all sinners, but they're only two types of people. Here's this great division. There's sinners lost in their sins, and there's sinners saved by grace. And what he's talking about here, the way of sinners, is unbelievers. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That is, those who scorn, they scorn what we believe. They count it useless, even evil. They called Christ himself a blasphemer. They called him an ungodly man. But the way of the godly, the way the seed of the believers, it says his delight is in the law of the Lord. How in the world can I delight in the law of the Lord? The law of the Lord requires perfection. And I don't have that in myself. Everything I do falls short of that. How in the world can I have delight in the law of God? There's only one way. And that's looking to Christ, who is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ is my law keeper. Christ is my righteousness. And in the law doth he meditate day and night. If you'd meditate on the law day and night, knowing your sinfulness, without Christ, you'd be in sorrow day and night, if you're truthful. The other ones who are not are those who are self-righteous, who think they measure up because of what they do or what they've done, like the Pharisees. But a sinner, and it says in verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Talking about in the way of salvation. The ungodly are not so. Here's your two divisions, the godly and the ungodly. They're not so. They're like the chaff that the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. What is the standard of judgment? Christ. God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, in that he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Acts 17:31. So those who are found before God at judgment without Christ, not washed in his blood, not clothed in his righteousness, they'll not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Who is the congregation of the righteous? Sinners saved by the grace of God. Washed in his blood, clothed in his righteousness. We sang about it. His righteousness imputed, charged, accounted to me. And he says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Now, the way that is made by our Savior's suffering is the way of the righteous. It's the way of the cross. It's the way of the blood. It's the way of God's grace, saving sinners who cannot save themselves, making them righteous, declaring them righteous by what Christ has done and what he has accomplished in his death, burial, and resurrection. God knows that way. And the word know there means that God has an intimate love and relationship with the way of the righteous. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. Look back at Isaiah 53:6. He starts off with the essence, what I call the essence of sin and depravity. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Now, another division, or another way that the Bible explains or describes the great division, and it does it in many ways, as we saw in Psalm 1. Back in Genesis chapter 4, you can use it this way. There's the way of Abel and there's the way of Cain. What was the way of Abel? The way of the lamb. The way of the blood. That pictured Christ. What was the way of Cain? That was the way of work salvation. The way of salvation conditioned on sinners. But another way that the Lord described it is the sheep and the goats. Did you know in this world there's only two kinds of animals? There's sheep and then there are goats. One old preacher said, sheep follow. Goats, but. Who are the goats? Well, Christ said it in Matthew 25, they are those who die in their sins, who die in unbelief, who never come to a saving knowledge of Christ. They are those, for example, as he describes in Matthew 7, who are on the broad road that lead to destruction, and many there be in. How many? I don't know. I'm not in the numbers game. Never have been. Well, when I was lost, I was. Since I've been preaching the gospel, I haven't been. That's the goats. And who are the sheep? Well, they are those who God has brought on the way that was made by our Savior's suffering. It's the narrow way. Remember, he said that in Matthew 7. Straight and narrow is the way. Few there be that find it. How few? I don't know. More than I can see. So there's sheep and there are goats. So who's he talking about here? All we like sheep have gone astray. Well, he's talking about his sheep. How do you know he's talking about? He's talking about the elect of God. Now, we can say that all people by nature have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. But he's talking specifically about his sheep. And how do I know that? Because he says in the next line, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So whoever they all are, God's laid their iniquity on him. What does that mean? God has imputed their sins to Christ. Well, hold on to that thought. But here's what I want to make the point to start off with. As far as sheep goes, you know, right now on this earth, as we exist on this earth, there are two kinds of sheep. There are lost sheep who haven't found the way yet. And by the way, won't find it until God finds them. And then there are found sheep. They found the way. But think about this. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Do you know that's the essence of sin and depravity right there? And I want to make this point real clear, because if you don't understand this, there's no way you can understand the Bible in any part of it. You know, there is a lot, there always has been, and there always will be until the Lord comes back. There's always been a lot of human immorality in this world. You know that, don't you? You know that. There's been a lot. Perversion. It's always been. You say, well, it's worse today than it was. How do you know? You weren't living back then. It's always been bad. But you know what? There's always been a whole lot of false religion, too. And if you want to understand the essence of sin and depravity, don't think like this. All we like sheep have got drunk and laid in the street. That's not what he says. Now, is it a sin to be drunk and lay in the street? Of course it is. Is that a damnable sin? Yes. All sin is damnable, isn't it? It doesn't say all we like sheep have taken drugs and sold drugs or murdered people. No, it doesn't say that. It says, all we like sheep have done what? Gone astray. And how do you go astray? He says it right here. We've turned everyone to his own way. Now, how did we get like that? Well, we fell in Adam into sin and death, the scripture says, ruined by the fall. And then we're born dead in trespasses and sins. Psalm 58:3 says, the wicked are estranged from the womb and go astray as soon as we're born. And it also says there, and we naturally speak lies when it comes to the reality of God and our sins and salvation. Like sheep, we've gone astray. We've gone another way other than the one right way. And that speaks of not only our ignorance, but our rebellion. We don't know the right way. Why do you suppose false preachers preach a false gospel? Because they don't know the right one. I had an old gentleman up at Ashland who had a quaint way of putting things. And a lady asked him, how do you know you're saved? He said, I'll tell you how I know I'm saved. She said, how do you know you're not lost? And he said, I'll tell you how I know I'm not lost. I know the way. If you take a trip today and you've got a destination, if you know the way, you're not lost, are you? Even though your wife may tell you are. But you're not lost if you know the way. Won't you pull over and ask directions? Well, you better find somebody who knows the way if you're going to do that. Like sheep, we've gone astray. Now, I wouldn't do anything to insult you all or myself. There's a lot of smart people here today. We've got a lot of smart people in our church. But when it comes to salvation and the way to God and the right way to get to God by nature, we all are as dumb as lost sheep. You know, he says all we like sheep are gone astray. He didn't say all we like the oxen or the ass have gone astray. Back over, and the reason I say that, back over in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 3, he talks about even the ass knows his master. But you know something about a sheep? A lost sheep does not know its master. A lost sheep cannot find its way back home. It can't. It's totally helpless. And that's what we are by nature, lost sheep. If we're one of God's people now, if we're one upon whom God laid our iniquity on Christ, by nature we're sheep, but we're lost sheep. And that's why the Lord is called our shepherd. You know, he spoke through the prophets to Israel. He said, my people are like sheep without a shepherd. Nothing worse than that, folks. And people go their own way. I went my own way, the way of false religion. If you want to understand sin and depravity, as I mentioned this in the Sunday school lesson, if you want to understand sin and depravity, don't start with the lowest dregs of society to describe it. That is sin and depravity. But start with the best of the best and work your way down. Because man at his best state is altogether vanity, the scripture tells us. You take the one who's doing his or her dead level best to try to work their way into God's favor. That's sin and depravity. Did you know that? You say, well, I don't believe that. That's okay, you just don't believe this. That's what God's book says. And that's why the Lord is called our shepherd. He's the good shepherd. John 10:11. The good shepherd gives his life. Who did he die for? For the sheep. He's called the great shepherd. He died, was buried, and arose again the third day to establish the only righteousness whereby God could be just to justify the ungodly. He's called the chief shepherd. Peter wrote about this in 1 Peter 5:4. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. That means he'll keep us. And it's only when he finds us and calls us and brings us back to the fold that we know him. For you were as sheep going astray, Peter wrote, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. You know what a bishop is, don't you? That's an overseer. That's a superintendent. He saves us and he keeps us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. Everything that God requires for my salvation, I find in my shepherd. I shall not lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. The green pastures of God's love and grace and mercy. The green pastures of His Word. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Peace. He restoreth my soul. You know the psalm. Without our shepherd dying for our sins, seeking and finding us and bringing us to himself, we would never find our way to him. I love this verse in Psalm 80, verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. That's the mercy of God by the blood of Christ. He says here, we've all turned everyone to our own way. After the fall of man, God drove man out of the Garden of Eden to bar the way because of sin. And man cannot find his way back to God. We're lost. But God revealed that he had already established the only right way of salvation, and that way was the way of his grace through the promised woman's seed and by the blood of the Lamb. That's the only way of salvation. That's the only way to God. Do you know that the gospel, true Christianity, reveals that there's only one way and no other? It's the way of God's free, sovereign grace through the righteousness of Christ, which righteousness required his suffering unto death to accomplish. The blood of the cross. Christ is literally the only way to God. He said that in John 14:6. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Buddha won't do it. Muhammad won't do it. Brahmanatman won't do it. Joseph Smith won't do it. Baptism won't do it. Works won't do it. Only Christ. Acts 4:12, Peter writes, he preached, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. 1 Timothy 2:5, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, not two, not three. Mary's not a mediator. The saints aren't mediators. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. All else is idolatry. Have you ever studied isms? Most isms are bad, if not all. Let me give you some isms to avoid today. Relativism. You know what that is? That's when people say all truth is relative. There's no absolutes, you see. In other words, what was necessarily true for Isaiah and for the Apostle Paul is not really true for us today. We've got a different truth. That's heresy. Pluralism. That's another ism to avoid. Pluralism is really related to relativism. It really says, well, we all differ, but we're all right. We're all okay. What's true for you may not be true for me. You ever heard anybody say that? That's pluralism. That's not Bible. That's not gospel. That's heresy. Denominationalism. Somebody told me one time, said, well, I believe there's saved people in every denomination. And I asked him this. I said, well, what if the denomination denies the doctrine of Christ? Now, there may be some lost sheep in there, but they haven't been found yet. Because once they're found, he's going to bring them out and put them on his way. There are denominations that deny the true gospel. You realize that, don't you? You say, well, you're just being mean. Well, okay. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. Denominationalism is not biblical. There is a unity in the Bible, but it's a unity of faith in the people of God who believe the way that Christ made by his blood, his righteousness alone. And then another ism to avoid is ecumenicalism. That means, well, we all go different ways, but we're worshiping the same God, so let's just worship together. No. No. That's heresy now. You know the book of Judges. If you haven't studied the book of Judges, you might ought to go read it. But two times it says, here's the statement in the book of Judges, and tell me if this doesn't mark our day. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Sounds like today, doesn't it? You see, if the Lord is king in your heart, you won't do that which is right in your own eyes. You'll do that which is right in His Word. All other ways are evil, idolatry, and deadly. And this one way is a narrow way. Few be there that find it. It takes a sovereign work of God for us to find this way of life. We cannot find it on our own. Why? Because all we like sheep have gone astray. Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Romans 3 tells us that we've all gone out of the way. His way. But look here in Isaiah 53:6. It says, think about it. What is the right way? What is the one way? Well, here it is. Summarized in this phrase. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. There's the right way. It's the only way to God, and it's the way of righteousness. That's what it is. The way of righteousness. Yes, it's the way of His suffering unto death. It's the way of the cross. Let's summarize it in this one phrase. It's the way of righteousness. Listen to the psalmist, Psalm 5:8. Lead me, O Lord, in Thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make Thy way straight before my face. Proverbs 12:28. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. Proverbs 16:31. Listen to this one. The hoary head is a crown of glory. You know what the hoary head is? I see a lot of hoary heads here today. That's gray hair. But listen to this. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. How is righteousness accomplished and established for God's people, for His sheep? Here it is. The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Based on the imputation, the actual charging, the accounting of our sin debt to Christ, and we're going to read about this in the last part of Isaiah 53, in the next messages. Based upon the accounting, the reckoning of our sin debt to Christ, He, for His sheep, justly went under the full wrath of God for that iniquity that was laid on Him. Number one, because our sins were laid on Him, and that is imputed to Him, God will not lay them or impute them to us. Aren't you glad? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You could read it this way. Who shall lay anything to the charge of Christ's sheep? It's God that justifieth. Who can condemn us? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, is risen again, seated at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us. Secondly, because our sins were laid on Christ, imputed to Him, God imputes His righteousness to us. To His sheep. Look at Isaiah 53:11. Listen to this. He shall see of the travail of his soul. That's the suffering he went through to save his people. And shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. What is it to be justified? It's to be forgiven of all my sins on a just ground. And what is that just ground? The blood of the shepherd. The blood of the lamb. What is it to be justified? It's to be declared righteous in the sight of God by His grace through Christ, righteousness imputed. And it says, for He shall bear their iniquities. Thirdly, because our sins were imputed to Christ, laid on Christ, He suffered unto death to work out this righteousness by which God justifies us. That's the way of the cross. That's what it took. for him to accomplish righteousness. You know, when Christ set out on his public ministry, remember he came to John the Baptist? And he said, John, baptize me. And John said, I have need to be baptized of you. And Christ said, suffer it to be so for us to fulfill all righteousness. And in his baptism, he pictured how he would fulfill righteousness in his death, his burial, his resurrection. That's how he would do it. He would suffer unto death, he would be buried, and he would be raised again the third day. That's how he started his public ministry. Suffer it to be so for us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, how did he end it? John 19:30, he said, it's finished. Now, what was finished? Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Fourthly, because our sins were laid on Christ, he delivers us from our own evil ways, ways of death and damnation, and he delivers us to his own glorious way, the way of life and eternal glory in him. That's what he does. Psalm 119 and verse 9 asks this question and answers it. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, therefore, according to thy word, to God's word. And what does God's word tell us is the only right way? Well, it's the gospel way. The way of salvation, the way of righteousness, the way of God's grace in Christ. And there is no other way. There is no other way. I don't care. You know, we had a lady come here and visit from another church, and she said the reason she left that church is because they believe in what they call progressive Christianity. I don't know if you've ever heard that term or not. I'd heard it. But I asked her to tell me what she thought it meant, progressive Christianity. And here's what she told me. She said, they now believe that there are many ways to God, not just one way. Well, that's man's way, and that's a way of death. There's only one way to God, folks. And that's the way of the blood, the way of the cross, the way of righteousness. The way of Christ, the way of God's grace. All right.